There's that school bell, and that reminds you, go get your Bible, get your seat, and come to class, and be a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. And when you're getting your Bible, be turning to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to continue a study that we're on the walk of Jesus with those two disciples to the little village of Emmaus. They didn't know they were walking with Jesus at the time, and they only found out that they'd been talking with him after they arrived, and they ran quickly to tell the 11 back in Jerusalem that they had seen Jesus who had risen from the dead. We'll begin that in just a moment, and while you're turning your Bible to Luke chapter 24, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola. It's a beautiful part of the county and a beautiful drive out to our meeting house. We're at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. And you can come out there on a beautiful Sunday morning and then attend a Bible study at 9 a.m. What a wonderful way to start a week. And then we will worship at 10 a.m. We'll dismiss for the afternoon, but Sunday evening we'll return to worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening have a Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and our teacher is E.A. Elam, who is coming to us by way of Sunday school lessons that he prepared for the Sundays of 1923. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson he prepared for the Sunday of April 1st, 1923, from Luke chapter 24, concerning the walk of Jesus with the two disciples to Emmaus. Let me begin reading in Luke chapter 24, and I'll begin in verse 13 and read down through verse 20, and there we'll continue with the study that we had already begun in the previous class session. It says in Luke chapter 24, 13, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 80 furlongs from Jerusalem, and they communed with each other all of these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What communications are these that ye have with one another as ye walk? And they stood still, looking sad. And he said, and one of them, named Cleopas, entered and said unto him, Dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem, and not know the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned unto death and crucified." Now turning to Elam's notes concerning that, they stated how the rulers had condemned and crucified him. Their rulers were the Jewish council and Pilate, who treated him not as a prophet, but as a malefactor. We read in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 21, "But we hope that it was he who should redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things are come to pass." They also stated that up to the death of Jesus, they hoped that it was he who should redeem Israel. That is, they were hoping that this Jesus would be that Messiah that they had heard of in the prophets and that was promised and prophesied. The apostles and all his disciples thought he would become an earthly king, and all the Jews hoped for such a ruler who would deliver them from the Romans and restore their lost kingdom to a greater glory than it had ever enjoyed. But the hope of the disciples had been buried in the tomb with Jesus. Be it said to the praise of his disciples that although in sudden fright they at first forsook him and fled, in their calmer moments, their courage revived, and in love they lingered around his cross, and some in boldness and tenderness buried him. And all after his death, though not expecting his resurrection, confessed that they had been his disciples, and that he was a prophet mighty in word and deed before God and men. What to the enemies of Jesus seemed most effectual to discourage his disciples filled them with courage and boldness. It is always the case that the blood of the martyrs has been the seed of the church. And they said, "It is now the third day since these things came to pass," seemed to refer to the length of time since Jesus was crucified, although they may have remembered that he said that he would rise the third day. If so, they did not understand what he meant. We read in Luke chapter 24, 22 through 24, "Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, having been early at the tomb. And when they found not his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the tomb and found it even so as the woman had said, but they saw him not." They recounted the incidences that the women had seen the empty tomb, and the angel who said he was alive, and that certain of the apostles had gone to the tomb and found it as the women had said. Well, Jesus then explained it to these men, Moses and the prophets. In verse 25, he said unto them, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken." Jesus calls them foolish because of their unbelief, and reprove them because of their slowness of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. The emphasis seems to be on all. They believed some things the prophet had said, but not all. They did not understand how their Messiah must suffer and be crucified and die and rise from the dead. They could not see how their king should submit to such humiliation and distress. They were foolish because they did not believe all of this, and slow of heart to believe. That shows there's a failure on their part to receive all the truths. Some today are slow of heart to believe all that the Lord says. We read in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15 and Hebrews 5 verses 12 through 13, such things as that. In Hebrews chapter, in Matthew 13:15, we read, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them." In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, we read that, "When by reason of time you ought to be teachers, ye have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We must believe against all our prejudice and our perverted taste all that God says. Now in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 26, we read, "Behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things, and to enter into his glory?" That is, to suffer all that the prophets had spoken, and therefore that the true Messiah must suffer and die. This suffering was also necessary that he might save the race and enter into his glory, as we see in verses 46 and 47, when he ascends unto heaven. After his death, Jesus was exalted to the right hand of God and entered into a greater glory than he had with God before he came to the earth. in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we read where Paul will write, "Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death on the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, we read that Jesus, beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He began at Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, and therefore recorded many of God's promises of the Messiah. Besides, Moses himself was in more ways than one a grand type of Jesus. There was scarcely a prophet that did not write in some way of Jesus, and scarcely a king that did not in some way typify some feature of his character. It is very interesting and instructive indeed to look upon all the various references to Jesus in the Old Testament. One can imagine how Jesus pointed out all these and showed the wondering disciples how all the things which had just related were the fulfillment of the Scriptures. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19 and verse 10. And then, to their amazement, Jesus reveals himself to them. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 28, it says, "They drew nigh unto the village whither they were going, and he made as though he would go further. As they journeyed, he taught, and while he taught, they drew near the village, and he made as though he'd go further," probably to bring out still more fully their interest. And certainly he would have gone further had he not been invited to stop. One or both of these men may have lived there. If not, they seemed well acquainted. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 29, it says, "They constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And he went to abide with them. They urged him to stop, saying, It's toward evening, the day is now far spent. He yielded to their request. He abides now with all who will invite him, who will give him a sincere and hearty welcome, who will put out of their hearts and homes everything uncongenial to him." In Luke chapter 24 and verse 30, we read that it came to pass when he had sat down with them to meat, he took bread and blessed and brake it, and he gave it to them. He assumed the position of the master, as was his custom with his disciples before his death, and took bread and blessed it or gave thanks. Jesus ate more than once after his resurrection and before his ascension. In Luke chapter 24, and beginning in verse 39, he would say, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me having." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And so, Jesus, he must have eaten because he was hungry, as well as to show that he was risen and not a spirit. As it said in verse 39, he had flesh and bones. Flesh and blood belong to this earthly state. And so we're going to read more about that in our next class session.